We're going to just start here at the end of Tedvav Bet. The Gemara here is continuing from the sugya, the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And the Gemara has a machloket, and the Gemara wants to know exactly what their machloket revolves around. So here the Gemara suggests at this point in time that the machlokas were Maikim Iflige. What are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, Bit Hatra'at Safeka Miflige. They're arguing about whether Hatra'at, a warning that is given, that does not, it's not definitive. There's no clear-cut situation where the person will be over at that instant that he gives the Hatra'ah. It's a possibility that he will be in the future over. Whether that is sufficient Hatra'ah, is that sufficient warning? So, Marsav Hatra'at Safek Shema Hatra'ah. One of them holds what that Hatra'at Safek is good enough to be Hatra'ah. Umar Savar. And the other one who is Reish Lakish, that was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Reish Lakish holds Hatra'at Safek Lo Shema Hatra'ah. When it comes to a Hatra'at Safek, when a person gives Hatra'ah, that is not clearly defined that he's going to violate the Isur, right, in the moments after he gives the warning, then that's not considered Hatra'ah. And the Rashi over here points out that V'i Kasha the Rabbi Yochanan, well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, right now we're discussing about a lav hanitak de'aseh. We're talking about someone who violates a isur lav, but the Torah prescribes an aseh, prescribes some sort of what seems to be rectification for the violation of the lav. So the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish partly revolves around the issue of when, how do you bevatel, how do you ruin the aseh to the point that you're going to be chayav. So actually asks a simple question. According to Rabbi Yochanan, why do you have to go as far as to say that Hatra'at Safek is Shema Hatra'ah? I have a simple solution to your problem. Instead of warning him when he violates the lav, just warn him when he's going to be mevatel the aseh. Right? So that's when he's going about to do something that might be mevatel the aseh. He's about to, we're going to see, like, for instance, kill the aim when it comes to Shaluach HaKohen, he's going to kill the mother so he can't shoo away the mother bird anymore. So you watch him and say, look, if you do this, now you're going to be in violation of, right, not taking the babies when you haven't shooed away the mother bird. If you kill the mother right now, you're not doing Shaluach at the aim. So he warns him right then. Why isn't that good enough? Why do you have to warn him by the lot, I say? So Rashi answers here. He says, we're going to see it. Actually, it's really not from our Gemara. It's Gemara in Shavuot. And it's Murah. Says, we're going to get to it in Shavuot by the Gemara Dashin's Psukim about it. But the only time that you can be give Hatra'ah and the violation that makes you Chayav is the Akira Talav. That has to be when you're violating the azhara, when you're violating the lotase, when you're violating the negative commandment, that's when the hatra'ah has to be there. And that's the only time you are chayav. The bitul aseh is just a way to allow you to be chayav for the lav. But the hatra'ah has to be juxtaposed or associated with the lav. So just telling him about it by the aseh will not suffice. And therefore, that cannot be the solution to the problem. The Gemara says, v'azdu l'tamayu. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are holding by their opinions in another place, which is, Itmar Shvua Shochel Kikar Zehayom. Person takes the Shvua that he's going to eat a loaf of bread, or he's going to eat this piece of bread today. Vavarium Velo Achla. The whole day passes and he didn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Damro Tevayu, and Elokeh. Both of them say that you do not get Malkot. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Elokeh Mishum Dehavi Lav She'ein Bo Maaseh. We're talking about here, Lav She'ein Bo Maaseh. He is violating the Shvua through a shave Ve'al Taseh. He's not doing anything. He's simply sitting and doing nothing, and that's how he violates the Shavua, and therefore you can't get Malkot. Behold, Lav She'im Bomasa in Lokam Elav. And a Lav that lacks a action involved in some sort of Masa, that you do not get Malkot for. On the other hand, Reish Lakish Amar, in Loka Mishum Davi Hatra'at Safek. Because anytime you tell him, listen, if you don't eat this loaf of bread, you're going to violate the Shavua, he still has more time in the day left to possibly eat the bread. So therefore, it's always a Hatra'at Safek. V'chol Hatra'at Safek, lo shmei Hatra'ah. And any Hatra'at Safek is not classified as a Hatra'ah. I'll leave this for here. It's not really for us. Sukhi, we'll get to in Shavuot, but the possibility of giving a warning, and this is maybe one of the Nafkin, giving a warning right before the end of the day. That at the last moment of the day, if you can warn him, you can give Hatra'ah at that moment, then possibly it isn't Hatra'at Safek, because this is the last second he could eat it. If he doesn't eat it now, then he's in violation, if that's just the problem. So it's not for our sugya, just mentioning it, it's something that we have to discuss when we do this more in depth. So Mar says, they're both holding like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Breita, lo tutu rimenu ad boker, va notar rimenu ad boker, ba'ish tisrofu. So you're not allowed to leave over any of the korban until the morning, and whatever you do leave over, you gotta burn. So that's a lav and itak tase. Ba, akatuv, litain ase, achar lo tase, lomar she'in lokin alav. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the fact that there's an ase, after lo tase is why you're not getting malkot over here, because it's a lav and itak tase. So Rabbi Yochanan dai hachi. Rabbi Yochanan makes a diok out of Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Taima the ba katuv. The only reason that you are patur over alma. So what do you see from this? A tratz afek shma hatra. Had it not been for the pasuk, you would have gotten malkot. You would have gotten malkot. If you didn't have the pasuk, you would have gotten malkot. Indicates that a hatratz afek would work in this instance, because this is a possibility of hatratz afek. Because it's lo tutur menu ad boker. That means at any moment during the night. Right, you could. Right, so anytime during the night, there's a possibility that you could be notar, you could still eat it. We don't know. So anytime you're warning him, we don't have any clue about what's happening. Very shluckish, dayakachi. They should make the deal this way. Time of the Balkatuv, had not been for the assay, or the reason that he's paturi is because of the assay. Halo Balkatuv, had you not had the assay, lokeh, burgamal kot. Alma, lav shembo masa, lokinalav. Over here, you have a lav shembo masa. Why? It's the e-achila that is causing it. He's lo tutur rimenu ad boker. You're not doing your shev al tase. You're just watching it and leaving it until the morning. That's all done through an e-maaseh. That's done through the lack of action that makes it. And nevertheless, you're going to get malkot. So Rav Shlakish says, I can show you from here that Rav Yehuda holds lav shein bo maaseh, lo kin alav. And that's what I hold. Lav shein bo maaseh, lo kin alav. So each one letameh. Obviously, they both have the other diuk, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan has to deal with the fact that it is also a lav shein bo maaseh, and Rav Shlakish is going to have to deal with the fact that it is a tratz afek. Ain't no chanami that they say the reason that you would be punter here is because of the assay. Not from the assay, you're chayav. So that proves to me something about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But how do you know which one to prove? How do you know whether to prove shalav shein bo maaseh? Or how do you know whether to prove that it's a tratz afek? That's what the Gemara is going to have to ask. Very Shlakish, right? Rav Shimon ben Lakish nami avadai hatratz afeku. All right, so you can't argue on the fact that this is a hatratz afek. If Rabbi Shlakish really holds that hatratz afek is lo shma hatra, how would he have a case here that you'd get malkot according to this? I mean, he says, Savalaki idach tana de Rabbi Yehuda. He holds, there's another opinion. When he says, I'm holding like Rabbi Yehuda, he's not talking about the Rabbi Yehuda here of lo tutur rimenu ad boker, va notar rimenu ad boker. That's not the Rabbi Yehuda he's talking about. He's talking about another Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda is he talking about? A Rabbi Yehuda of a Safek, which is an interesting case here, the Tanya. He kazeh, v'kazar v'kazeh. He hit this individual, and then he hit this individual. Kilozeh, v'kazar v'kilozeh. He cursed this individual, cursed that individual. He cursed shneem v'vatachad. He hits them both at the same time. Or kilo shneem v'vatachad chayav. It's chayav. Rabbi Yehuda omer, v'vatachad chayav. Only if he does it simultaneously, is he chayav. B'zeh chazer patur. Once, if he does it in a sequential manner, he's patur. What is the case over here? Case over here is a case where a woman remarried. In the Chazal, we learned this together in Seder Nashim, that a woman must wait 3 months between a divorce or a widowing until the point in time where she remarries. Why? Because we want to prevent any mix-up between the fact that the baby that's born now either belonged to the first husband or the second husband. So how do we do that? We leave a gap of 3 months. Once we get to a gap of 3 months, the Gemara believes that that baby will not be a Bar Kayama, because the Gemara believes only a Bar Kayama can only be at the 7th month or the 9th month. So that's only 2 months earlier. If it's already in the 6th month, it's not a Bar Kayama. So that's it. Once we pass 3 months, we know that the baby must be born from the second marriage and not the first marriage. But what happens if this woman went ahead and anyway married within the 2 months after her first marriage? So now we have a baby born. Safek ben shiv'a l'sheni, safek ben tish'a l'rishon. We have a safek, the baby's born. He could be a 7 month baby from the second husband or a 9 month baby from the first husband. So we're unsure as to who the father of this child is. Well, a child towards a father has two special isurim. One is hachovel. A child that hits a parent, chayav mita. Child that curses a parent, chayav mita. But we don't know who his father is. We're not sure. There are two people here. One of them is, of course, his father, but we don't know which of those two is his father. So now the Tanna Kamma says, hikazeh. Right? Vachakach hikazeh. He hit this one, or he hit that one. If he curses this one, and then he curses that one, chayav, then he's chayav. But, and if he, of course, he does it with atach, does it simultaneously, chayav. But Rabbi Yehuda comes over and says, no. If you do it sequentially, no good. If you do it b'fat achad, if you do it simultaneously, good. Why? What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds, hatrat safek, lo shma hatra. So if he simultaneously hits both individuals, then he's clearly hitting his father, and the warning is going on this, right, this action. The warning goes on this action, then he hits these two individuals in one shot. It's clear that he hit his father. But if you give a hatra'ah, a warning, and then he goes and hits one individual, and then hits the second individual, if the second individual is his father, then the two were not, right? They were not juxtaposed. They were not immediately connected. There was a hatra'ah. There was a hit of a third party, and then a hit of the father. So there you can't give him a punishment for chovel, but his father, because we're not sure that he hit his father first. And therefore there's some sort of gap between the hatra'ah and the hitting. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the only way you can be chayav in these cases, if he hits both of them simultaneously, or curses both of them simultaneously, because then you have a vada'ai hatra'ah. So that's what Rabbi Shlaka says. That's the Rabbi Yehuda I'm following. I'm following that Rabbi Yehuda that says, there's no hatra'ah, there is no such thing as hatra'ah tzafek. It does not work. You need a hatra'ah vada'ai. And that's the only way you can be chayav. So, along comes, what about Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan, we have a vade lav shein bo maseh. Who? Right, so, this is definitely a lav shein bo maseh. There's no question about when a person's lotot tiramen on boker, the violation is done through a shevi al taseh. You violate it by simply doing nothing. If that's the case, then you have a case here that's a lav shein bo maseh. And what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? You're chayav, he's loka on it. So what's Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says, Sevelaki ha! He holds like this, the Amr of Idi bar Avin, Amr of Amron, Amr of Yitzchak, Amr of Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Haya Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kol lautase shibit Torah, any lautase in the Torah, lav sheyesh bo maseh, lokin alav. When there's a maseh involved, malkot. Lav shein bo maseh, ain lokin alav. No action, no malkot. Chutz, the three exceptions here, chutz min anishba, taking a shvuah, umeymar, ve'amekalel. Right? Someone does tumurah, and someone does who curses, tachaveru b'shem. Someone does a kilo of his friend, a bit shame. So you have three places that are exception, but otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda over here says, lav shein bo maseh, ein lokin alav. The only interesting note Rashi points out over here is that, remember before, we just had a case. We had a case where he took a shavu'ah, shochel kikar zeh. Took a shavu'ah that I will eat this kikar today. And then what does he do? He doesn't eat the kikar. That's a shevi al taseh. He's doing something passively. And yet over there we said, no malkot, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why not? According to Rabbi Yochanan, you have a case here where lav shein bo maseh doesn't get malkot except, what are the three exceptions? One of the three exceptions is shavu'ah. So one of the three exceptions is Shavuah. Why did Rabbi Yochanan in the beginning, right, the end of Tet Vav and Bet, why did he say the case of Shavuah ain't a loke? If that's the case, that's one of the exceptions. He should get Malkot. So Rashi again points out, again, we have to, upcoming attractions. We're going to get in Shavuot. We'll get to this sugya. But Gemara Shira Darshan there from the Psukim, that when we talk about Nishba, you're only loke when it's Shavuah la'avar, when you're talking about the past. If you make a Shavuah about something that already happened, right, even though it's a lav shein bo maseh, you're chayav because it's immediate. The issue is immediately solved. We know whether it's right or wrong, right, but it happened. But it's only shalavar. But le'atid, something that's the future, you can't get malkot for. Even if you hold lav shein bo maseh is ein lokin alav except for nishba, so nishba is the exception. Nevertheless, it's only about the avar, the past. But you take a shavuah for the future, that doesn't help you in terms of lav shein bo maseh. It says now, Kasha the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. It's very nice that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan found other Rabbi Yehudas to hold like. But then what about Rabbi Yehuda in this case? In the case of, the case where it says, Lo Tatu Ramen Ad Boker and Atur Ramen Ad Boker, there you clearly have two things. He says, it's a Lav Neitak Lasei. Had it not been a Lav Neitak Lasei, you would have been Chayav Malkot. Which tells you two things about Rabbi Yehuda. One thing it tells you about is that Atra Tzafek, Shema Atra. Also tells you another thing about Rabbi Yehuda, which is lav shein bo maseh lokin alav. Now the problem with that is we have another braita that Reish Lakish brought that says when it comes to the fathers, the suffek fathers, Rabbi Yehuda says you're only chayav when we know for certain That means that atra safek lo shma hatra. So now you have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda, and same for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Oh, you're right. Lav shem bo maaseh lo kana lav." Yeah, from notar you would have learned lav shem bo maaseh lo kana. But I have another Rabbi Yehuda. The other Rabbi Yehuda says lav shem bo maaseh ain lo kana lav, except for the three exceptions, ain lo kana lav. Right. And wait, exactly. One of those exceptions is not notar. So how do I reconcile? So when I say this for both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokish, we have a kasha, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So either Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Trey Tanai, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Shlokish was going to have to explain the two brightot. There are two brightot who are explaining the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and they do contradict. They contradict what the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is, whether Lav Shem Bumasa, Atrat Safek Shema Atra or Lo Shema Atra, that is a Machlokas Tanaim Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. That depends on one Tana is the Tana of Notar, and the other Tana is the Tana of Haka and Kilula. So the other, and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, what's Rabbi Yochanan? Lo Kasha Hadi Dei Hadi Rabbe. Right? It's a difference between him and his Rabbi. Case by the case of Notar, it's Rabbi Yehuda stating his own opinion. In here, by the case of, right, that statement about Lav Shem Bomaseh, there it's Bishum Rabbi Shosi Aglili. It's the name of his Rebbe. So therefore, it's one's the opinion of his Rebbe, one's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda himself. But in Achanami, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish come up with their opinions based on Rabbi Yehuda, but better than based on Rabbi Yehuda that's really found somewhere else. Right? It's either Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili, or the Rabbi Yehuda that is found by hitting of the parent or cursing the parent. There is really what they get the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, even though we quoted it about the case of Notar. Because the case of Notar is inconclusive because there are two issues there. There's the issue of Lav Shem Bo Maaseh, and there's the issue of Atrat Safek. And both of those are overcome by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds both of them are Chayav. So really, they're really holding on the other Rabbi Yehudas that are found in the other two, right, the Memrot that we have from Rabbi Yehuda. Right, so Gemara says now, it's not Hatam. An otel aim ala banim, that someone who goes ahead and takes the aim ala banim does not shoo away the mother bird to take the young children. Rabbi Yehuda omer loke ve'eno mishaleach. At that point in time, the game is over, and he gets malkot, and he doesn't send it away. Chamim omer mishaleach ve'eno loke. Right, so the Chamim say, no, he can still rectify the situation, shoo away the mother bird, and we'll have rectified the situation. So now, because they are klal, they come and say, kol mitzvot. I'll explain it, one second, I'll explain it. So here, they are klal, kol mitzvot lo taseh sheyashba kumaseh en chayvin ala. Which is what, so what you're saying. So basically it's a lav ani taklaseh, and what's the question over here? What can Rabbi Yehuda have an opinion that ain't, that's lo kevin o mishaleach? So it has to do with the way it's written in the pasuk. The way it's written is in the pasuk, it says, shaleach tishaleach adayim, right? Velo tikachayim ala banim. So the assay precedes the lav. So the question now is, what does that mean when the assay precedes the lav? The Chachamim say, shaleach tishaleach, means anytime, send the mother bird away. That's the requirement. All right. If you don't send away the mother bird, then you're going to be chayav when you've eliminated the possibility. But as long as you can send away the mother bird, there's no violation of lo tikachayim ala banim. Yehuda says, no, it says shaleach tishaleach at the aim, mi kara, it says it beforehand. So you have an opportunity, send the mother bird. But if you don't send the mother bird away, then it's lo tikachayim ala banim, you violated the isur, and that assay is not a rectification of the lav. You had the opportunity to do the assay beforehand, but the assay has no effect afterwards. There's nothing to do. Once you've taken the aim on banim, the assay is irrelevant anymore. There is no assay left, because the assay preceded the lav. So this is a machlokas between them here, is you have an assay before the lav. How do you apply this assay? Alright, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. In lanu el azot v'od acheret. Rabbi Yochanan says that there's only this isur of shiluach hakein and another one where you can be mevatel the assay. So this is Rabbi Yochanan the shita to. Rabbi Yochanan the shita to says the only way you can violate the lav shenitak l'assay is if you totally and completely eliminate the assay. She says, I have this one, Shiluach HaKan, and one other Isur where I can get rid of the assay. Well, Shiluach HaKan is easy. How does he get rid of it? How does he get rid of the assay? Here he has the mother bird. He has to shoo away the mother bird to take the little ones. If he takes the little ones and doesn't shoo away the mother bird, what's the rectification? He shoos away the mother bird. So how does he make it that he can't do the assay? What can he do to make sure that he can't do the assay anymore? Kills the mother bird. Exactly. If he kills the mother bird, he can no longer send it away. So therefore, I can be mivakel the assay. Rabbi Yochanan says, that's a case, I can be mivakel the assay, and it can be in violation of the lav. Alright, one other. There's one other lav and itak the assay like that. He goes, what is that one other lav and itak the assay? So that, Amalei Rabbi Lazar Heicha. What's the other one? So Rav Elazar says to him, he says, Amalei l'chit tishkach. When you find it, you'll come and tell me. So Nafak Dak, so Rav Elazar went out and found, Vashkach, he found it. The Tanya, Ones, Shigiresh, Im. So this is a person who was Anes a woman. The requirement of Torah, if one is Anes a woman, is to take her as a wife, to marry her. But once he's married, it says, he's not allowed to Shalech Otah Kol Yomav. He's not allowed to send her away the rest of his life. That means that he can't divorce her, ever. Now what happens if he divorces her? What happens if he divorces her? Has he violated that love? So the man says, no, he hasn't violated the love. Why? Because he can take her back. He can return her. He can be machzir grushato. So the man says, im. Right. Oh, vim Yisrael ho machzir. If he's Yisrael, he can take her back. Vim in a loke, and therefore he won't be loke. Vim kohen ho. If he's a kohen, he does get malkot. Why? Because ain't no machzir, because he can't take her back, basically. Once he's divorced, there she becomes a grusha. Grusha cannot be taken back. So the kohen is now in a position where he's definitely by the lav, and the assay is gone. There's no possibility of him taking it back. But Yisrael, he's always a mod v'chafzir. Always there with that possibility that he could take her back, since you can always take her back until the last moment of his life. You can never give him a case where it's not lav ani tak l'assay. The assay is always extant. So yeah, the Gemara says, okay, wait a minute. Hani cha the man de tani kaimo velo kaimo. All right, that works well according to the one who says that whether you're mekayim or not mekayim is the determinant of whether you violate the assay or not violate the assay. So over here, you can be mekayim the assay. You can always be mekayim the assay. Or in that, if he does the assay, good. If he doesn't do the assay, we'll give him malkot. Elaman datani bitlo v'bitlo. What are you talking about? When the one who says bitlo, which is Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion says that you're mevatel, right? If you're mevatel the assay, how are you mevatel the assay over here? How can you be mevatel the assay of taking this woman back as a wife? What are your choices? Bishlam agavish lo chakean mishkachala. Why, that's the case. You can kill the bird. So what are you going to do over here? Ela ones, right? Bitlo, velo bitlo, echa mishkachala. What's the case? Give me the case. How do you ensure that this woman you can't marry anymore? So what are you going to suggest? Either katlo, kill her. Send it to kam levi rabbi minei. Yeah, he's got, right, exactly. He's got a much bigger problem. Now he's killed someone, and that's what created the bitul asay at that moment. So then he has kim leder. Rabbi minei is not going to matter. So I'm Rabbi Shimi Yechozna, kagon, shikiba la kiddushim me'acher. No, he's accepted for her kiddushim for another party. He married her off to someone else. So Mara says, wait a minute. Amarav, wait. How is he marrying off this woman? What right does he have to marry off this woman? Ishavite shliach. If she made him into a shliach to marry her off, then he kamat vatale. He's not doing anything to mevatel the assay. It's her that's mevatel the assay. Ilo shavete shliach. If she never made him a shliach, then kol kamine velo klumi. What right does he have to marry? Listen, ma'am, we don't know each other, but I just accepted kedushin for you. You can't do that. It doesn't work. If you're not a shliach, you can't accept kedushin on behalf of someone else. So you can't marry this woman off. So that can't be the case. El amar of simi minardo. Kagon shidira birabim. Took a shvua in birabim that he will not get hanoah from this woman. Or this woman may not get hanoah from him. Right? Better than probably bad. This woman, he will not get hanoah from him, or he won't get hanoah from this woman, so he can't be together with her. It says, anich lamandamar neder shudar birabim in lo hafara. That works well according to the one who says that when you take a neder in public like this with birabim, there's no hafara. You can't nullify it. You can't reverse it. Since you can't reverse the neder, then okay, we're stuck now, and now he can't marry her because he has this neder that's going to force him not to be able to marry her. So his neder caused the problem. He misbatal yasei by taking the neder. But if there's hafara, then over here, hafara doesn't literally mean hafara. Hafara is usually a term, an analogy that's used by a woman who is subject to the veto of her husband or a father to a daughter as a veto. Over here, we're talking about a man taking the neder. So it's used in a looser, the looser sense. Hafara means the ability to do hatarat nidarim. Hatarat nidarim. It's not doing. He has to do it hatarat nidarim. So what are you going to say here? So the midira la al dat rabim. It's not simply birabim in public, but al dat rabim, which is a different form of neder, a stronger form of neder. He does it al dat rabim. And by doing a data rabim, then there's no reversal. Everybody agrees there's no reversal for this neder. That's taken in public, that can be nullified, but really it means it can be hatarat. You can get hatarat and darim for it. Then adat rabim, when it's done on the dat rabim, on the dat, whatever the particular adat rabim, there is no ability, there is no way to reverse such a neder. How that, it's not, again here, not subject for our Gemara, but the difference between dat birabim and adat rabim. Right, we had an gittin, which is, one is a public nether, one is more done al dat of the ziknei ear. He has the, whether it's a basin or some sort of representation of chachamim there, that he does it al dat harabim, which it takes on, it's just a stronger, much stronger form of nether, that we don't allow hafarah. So here we came up with the case where you can have a bitul asay. Bitul leka. Are there no more? Are there no more cases of a lightning tak lasay where he could be mevatel the asay? We came up with two. Shalach HaKan, where he kills the mother bird. And we have the case of Ones, that does not take the woman, divorces his wife, and doesn't take her back. And the case there, where he made a net there that forces a separation, forces it makes it impossible for him to take this woman back. Okay, but it's the same. That's the same. Lama ni takta se. The case, you're talking about the case of...
Yeah.
Because of the coin. Because of the coin case. To teach you that the coin does get malchut. Yeah. The two lekovs, there are more of aikad. One of the most obvious ones, which is... Gezel. Stealing. Derachmana amar lo tigzol. Do not steal. If you do steal, what do you have to do? Veshivet gzela asher gazal. You have to return the gzela. Mishka mashkon. What about mashkon also? Don't go into his house to take a mashkon. If you do take a mashkon, hashev tashiv lo, you have to return it to him. So these are both lavani takla say. So hashiv lo avot kibo hashemesh. You have to take it back when this before sun sets. Mishkachala bikaimo v'lo kaimo v'itlo v'lo v'itlo. Right, we have it there. You can find it, no problem. Right, we can find it both with kiyum and no kiyum, which is Rish Lakish's opinion that if he simply doesn't do it, he gets malkot. Or you could have the case of Rabbi Yochanan where you can eliminate the assay. No problem to eliminate the assay over here. What do you do?
Destroy the object.
Right. If you just destroy the object, there's nothing to talk about. You can't do Vesivit Akzeh Lasher Gazal. Rezatam Gemin Dechayev B'Tashlumim Ein Loke Umishaleim. Oh, wait. Vesivit Akzeh Lasher Gazal has two paths or two manifestations. One is, if you steal the object, you must return the object. If you don't return the object, what happens? If you don't return the object that you stole? Pay. You have to pay. I mean, that's not over. The game's not over just because you destroy the object. You don't get back the Gzeila Asher Gazal. You have to pay. No. So now, that's it. You should get Malkos because of the Lavani Taklasay. But we have a separate din, which is Eino Loke Umishalem. You can't have those two, not because of Kedei Mishato, not because, as Tosafot points out over here, we're definitely not talking, the issue here is not, Eino, you can't get Loke Mishalem because you have two, Eino Shtei Mishayot, and you can't punish him twice. That's not the issue. The issue over here is because Eino Loke Mishalem, that you can't get Malkot because he's Patur through the Tashlamim. The Tashlamim get rid of the Lav. There is no Lav left. If he pays the money, there's no Lav left. And paying the money can be done forever. So that, you can't get rid of, let's say, so I do give the chayv d'shulmein, and the same thing with the mashkon, so it's payment. So matki v'lav rab zera, ha'ika mashkono shel ker, umeit ha'ker. I have a way to end this problem. Eino chanami, if the object is gone, you must give money to replace the object. But I have an individual where you can't give the money. Now what happens if the individual passes away? So pass away, you give the money to his yorshim. Give the money to his inheritors, no problem. You can rectify the problem. But there's one exception, because there's somebody who doesn't have yorshim. Who's the person who has no yorshim? There's only one person that can have no yorshim whatsoever. That's a ger.
Yeah, that doesn't work with the brothers. But it has to be that he did something
wrong.
He didn't do anything
wrong
over here.
Now, the ger died. Mat kiflar ger. In the case, we have a mashkan of a ger, and the ger passes away. The ger has no yorshim. So over there, you can't make restoration, or you can't repay, or make reparations for this item. Generally, even if the person passes away, you can pay his yorshim, and that's equivalent of giving back the gzeila, but tashlumim. Problem with the ger is he has no yorshim, so there's nobody to give the money to anymore. So there you should be chayav. The Gemara answer is up. Hatam gavra bar tashlumim hu. I'm ready to pay. Vishibudu the ger hu da paka. This is what you were saying, that the ger leaves. The problem is that the ger is gone. I didn't do anything. I'm here standing with the money. I'm ready to pay him anywhere he wants. But he's not around to accept the payment. So I wasn't mevatel le'asei, like you were saying, Joel. I'm not mevatel le'asei. The asei is being nitbatel ayidei the death of the ger. So therefore it's not a bitul asei. Va'ika peya. What about peya? The Rechman Amar lo techale pa'atzadcha la'agniv la'ger tozovultam. Don't cut away the corner of your field. You must leave them for the aniv la'ger. Ah, so what do you do over here? So that we have a din. It just says, we find a case here where it applies both for kiyem below kiyem and whether bitlo bitlo. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Mitzvat peya la frish min akama. So what's the day of peya when it's still standing and attached to the ground? Lo frish min akama. If you didn't take it off by the kama, me frish min omrim. You take it once it's bundled up and it's sitting in the piles or in the bundles. Lo frish min omrim, me frish min akri. If you didn't take it off while it's piled up in the field, they should take it away when he brings it into the threshing floor. Ad shelo meireach. That's before he does the final process that makes it chayav in shumot and masrot, the miruach. Mircho. If you already did miruach akri, maser v'notein lo. Then he has to take off maisrot first and then give it to him. So over here, there is an end to it. The Mishnah only says you're allowed to do it until the point of the kri. But if you make it into an isa, if you make it into a dough, at that point in time, there's a shinui in the item and you would not be able to repay the payah. So you can have a bitul asei over here. If he continues to work the crop to the point in time where he makes it into dough, there will be an ability, he'll eliminate his ability to return it as a payah. The payah. You stop the ability to give payah anymore. And just, we've noticed, we've mentioned this before, we did this in Sanhedrin, and it says over there, he has to give masrot. It's a question, while Tosfos asks a question, what do you mean just masrot? What about trumot? Miruach HaKri is the thing that's mechayiv in trumot. And truthfully, masrot are really chayav from a much earlier period in time. So Tosfos says over there that when we mean masrot, we mean trumot and masrot. That's one answer in Tosfos. We saw this in Sanhedrin. The other answer Tosfos gives is that since truma is a minuscule amount, that when he's talking about maisrot and truma, you just take off one wheat kernel and we're all done. So we're there, we're not worried about the truma aspect, we're worried about the maisrot aspect, which is a more significant amount. It's a tenth of the produce over here. That we want him to take off first and then give the full pay at that point in time. So we don't worry about the truma. Even though truma is an issue, we don't worry about it because it's not a significant monetary amount. So Mary says, wait a minute, what about Rabbi Shmuel? So you're saying here, I came up with another case where we can give mevatel le'asei. Well, I have another opinion. The opinion of Rabbi Shmuel says, the af mefrish min ha'isa, that you can still take off peyah even when it's dough already, even after you reach the point of dough. Shmuel says, Rabbi Shmuel, na mishkach la da'ach ha'isa. Okay, there's still an end for Rabbi Shmuel as well. So they just moved the end further back. According to everybody else, the end is when you get to the chachamim, the end is when you get to the point where you do shinoi in the item, when you make an isa. Fine. So Rabbi Shmuel says, and Isa still chayav in peah. But Rabbi Shmuel has to agree, once you've eaten the loaf of bread, it's over. Elazot vod acheret, aha. Right, so the Gemara says, okay, I have, you're right. The two, when Rabbi Yochanan says, zot vod acheret, you know what he's talking about? The zot is shiluach hakan. And what's the other one? This case of a peah. That's the other case. Of al ones, lo. But the case of ones, not. Teheicha damrinan al dat rabim in lo afara, ledat rishut. Where does everybody agree when you take a neder al dat rabim that you cannot ever undo that neder? You can't get a tardin darim. That's when it's done for reshut, personal reasons, for reasons that are outside of the Torah. Aval advar mitzvah yesh lo afara. For mitzvah, we do allow a tardin darim. And we're over here. This is a case of mitzvah. He needs to marry this woman. The Torah told him, please marry this woman. So in order to do the mitzvah, we will be matir neder in this case. So that's not, again, that's not a case of bitlo, velo bitlo. It's a case where you can't eliminate it. Because even if you take the neder adat rabim, guess what? There'll be matir that neder for you because it's a mitzvah for him to take it back. How do I know that you can be mevato? How do we know that you can be mevato? You can really be, Hatarat Nidareem by such a neder. Kihad how mikre dadake. There was this teacher of children. He was a little strong-handed with the kids. He hit them a little too hard or a little too much. So Adre Rabacha. Rabacha make him take a neder that he wasn't allowed to teach anymore. He wasn't allowed to teach children anymore because the way he treated him. Vahadre Ravina. Ravina came along and undid it. He was matir the nether. Why? There was nobody who could teach as well as him. He was the best teacher. They couldn't find anybody to replace him. So they said, in the end, he was Matir the Neder. But he's Matir a Neder al Dat Rabim. Why? Mitzvah, Limud HaTorah, teaching that we're allowed to be Matir Neder. So therefore, in the end, the two cases, Rabbi Yochanan can come up with a lav ani takla say, where the person can eliminate the assay, is Shluch HaKan, where you kill the mother, and Peah. Peah, where you either make it into an Isa, or you eat the Isa. Those are the two cases where you can eliminate the assay, and therefore you would be Chayav. Right now is a Gemara, this is like the, on Pesach, when you say how many makot were there in Mitzrayim and come alayam, here we go, this is a similar type of Gemara. I review the Ayman to Ochel Benita. When do we say Benita? The Beit Krava. This is a worm that crawls outside of the cabbage. Malkinanle. We give him Malkot, Mishum, Sheretz, Ashuretz, Alaretz. Because it's a Sheretz, Ashuretz, Alaretz, even though it's not Sheretz, Alaretz yet, or maybe it is Sheretz, Alaretz. Nevertheless, it's classified as being a Sheretz. And therefore, you get a Malkot for Sheretz, Ha, Sheretz, Alaretz. Now, Rashi explains it's Tolat Anim Seit Bekruv, Shkorim Tzaylo. Tosu says over there, Ma Chidush. What's the Chidush? That you find a worm that you're Chayavan. Of course, everybody, you're Chayavan a worm. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's a dog, it's a fish. And Imtzav Ben Machresha, and he says over here that it's a fish that when it's in the water has kashkashim, has fins. But when you remove it from the water, it doesn't have fins anymore. It moves around outside of the water, doesn't have fins. So in the water it has fins, therefore you could have eaten it, maybe it would be kosher. But once it leaves the water, it doesn't have fins, right, then you cannot eat it, and that's what that's the chiddush over here. You get malkot over here because it's a sheretz, a sheretz alarts. According to Rashi, it says, what's the chiddush? Of course you get, if it's a sheretz, you get malkot for it. So you could answer up for Rashi, which is the issue which we discussed in Sanhedrin a little bit, which is that the Gemara believes, and the Rishonim believe that an item that comes out of a fruit or out of a vegetable, if it comes directly out of the vegetables, as long as it's still in the vegetable, that item, it may not be considered a sheretz. You will not be chayav. If you eat the cabbage with the worm in it, and the worm has never seen the light of day, you are not chayav. When are you chayav? If it's a sheretz, ha-shoretz al-aretz. That's machlok is what that means, a sheretz, shoretz al-aretz. But it has to actually get off the vegetable and get on the ground. Or it's enough that it appears out of the vegetable, it came out of the vegetable already. So here, that might be the chiddush of Rashi. You're getting malkot here, even though if it was inside the cabbage, you wouldn't get malkot, because it's a, they believed in, the spontaneous generation, the idea that it came from the cabbage itself. It's not sheretz, shoretz al-aretz. But once it leaves the cabbage, once it's outside, then it is a sheretz. Or it's from outside the cabbage, a sheretz, shoretz, and that's sheretz, shoretz al-aretz, and that's the chiddush over here. So that's maybe what Rashi would have to say. There was someone who did eat the benita and beit kravo, but not the rebbe. The rebbe gave him malkot to show you that he passed in the halacha like he said. It wasn't simply theoretical. He actually did this. He gave malkot to somebody. So now Gemara says, Amar Abaye achal putita. Person who eats a potita gets lokeh arba'ah, gets four sets of malkot. So Rashi says, potita is a sheretz amayim, it's a sheretz that's in the water, and you chayav for two lavin that are written by sheretz amayim, sheretz amayim, one in parshat shmini and one in parshat re'ei, ushnei lavim that are written about sheretz tam. Just that a sheretz, lo tishakshu at nafshu techem, a sheretz, b'chol sheretz, a sheretz ha'aretz, v'lo titamu b'hem. So you have two isurim that relate to sheretz in general. So the two generic lavim of sheretz you're chayav for, plus the two particular lavim that speak about sheretz ha'mayim. That gets you four sets of malchot for eating a sheretz ha'mayim. And nimala, if talking about an ant, if he eats an ant, lokeh chamesh, then he gets five. Because you get the additional one of mishum sheretz ha'sheretz al'aretz. So how do you get five over here? You get shlosha lavim that are written by sheretz aretz. So there are three that are written by sheretz aretz, and then an additional two that are written by shratzim in general. That's what we quoted before. So you have two that are general, generic shratzim, and three that are deal with sheretz aretz. Now I have five isurim, five sets of malkot. And then obviously here we're talking about a nimala, he eats the whole briya, he eats the whole nimala whole, because that's briya bifnei atzma, that's why he's chayav, because otherwise it would be pachod mikzayit, and he won't be chayav. So it's a case where he eats the whole ant, which is then he chayav for. Tzara, if he eats a tzara, I don't know if it's a wasp, or some sort of bee, some sort of bird, or sheretz ha, oof, then he's lokesh shesh, gets six, mishum sheretz oof, gets six, why is that? He gets the same five that the nimala gets. Why was it? The Malach gets three for Sheretz Aretz, two for Sheretz Generic, and then over here you have the Tzira. The Tzira is both Sheretz Ha'ov, but he's also a Sheretz Ha'aretz. So since he has both, you're going to give him a malkot for all sheretz aretz, which means the three shretzim of the aretz plus the generic two, plus an additional one for sheretz ha'of. Right, so now the Gemara says, Amrav Achaya Mishaeh Ednikavav Uver Mishum Lo Shetishak Tzu. This is really a sugya nida and bechorot. Person who holds back from going to the bathroom violates Lo Tishak Tzu. That's it's a restriction. Obviously, it's a drash on the Lo Tishak Tzu, but it's a shikutz, something that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't withhold yourself from going to the bathroom. Going to the bathroom is important. The Gemara in other places talks about the damage one can do their body by not going, which is in violation of Lo Tishak Tzu. It's inappropriate. It's not right to withhold yourself from going to the bathroom, and you violate Lo Tishak Tzu. Amar Rabbi Bibi Barabai, I'm on the shati bekarna de umna. Someone who drinks a drink out of the vessel of the bloodletter. The bloodletter's vessel, which has, you know, the pin to go in to get the blood out, but he has a utensil that holds the blood. The person then fills that up with a drink and drinks it afterwards. Then he's over mishum lo tishak tzu. That's so disgusting that you over lo tishak tzu, because the same utensil that he uses for blood, you're going to put your food in. That is below tishak tzu. Ama rova bar ravuna risek tisha nimalim. He makes ant sauce. He grinds up 9 ants. And then he brings one whole one. And that one whole one, that one whole one makes it into a full zayit. Therefore, lokevav. Now you get 6 sets of malkot. Hey, mishum birya. The 5, because he's a birya. V'achad mishum kzayit nevela. 1 to 5 for the birya. Eating a whole ant. Eating a whole ant gets you, we saw before, 5 malkot. 3 for sheretz aretz. Sheretz or sheretz aretz. And 2 for sheretz in general. And now you get a 6th one. What do you get the 6th one for? Eating kzayit worth of nevela. You have these 9 ground up one plus the last one makes it all into a kzayit. Tosis discusses the fact that that generally we wouldn't say that a basar tameh or an animal tameah does not get a shame. Right? You can't become a nevela if you're already basar tameah. This person's already basar tameah. What do you mean? What are you talking about a nevela for over here? So Tosis answers up. It has to be according to the one who says that you would still, that the isur is chalal isur. That isur nevela is chalal isur of behemat tameah. And so to over here, it'll be chal on the ant. Even if you have 2 ground up ants and this one, that's enough. Rabbi Yosef Amar, even if you have 1 and 1, you have 1 ground up and 1 whole one. They're not arguing. It depends how big your ants are. You have really big ants, then you only need a small one extra to add on. If you have very small ants, then you're going to need multiple ants to add up to the gzayit. So it really depends on the size of the ant, whether you're going to need 9 to get to the gzayit, only 1 or 2 to get to the gzayit. That does ask, what's the chiddush over here? I know that. I know I have to get to exayit. 2 and 10, it's all the same to me. Why is it a big chiddush? So yeah, no, Tosis comes back that it's a bigger chiddush, because when you have chai shalem, and then what happens if he was ground up, or if he dies, this ant, he would not be so big. The only reason he's big over here is because he's alive. So even though he's going to die when you swallow him, and that's going to make it into nevela, since when you took him to eat the ant, it was alive, it classifies as a kzayit based on the live ant and not on the dead ant, or the ant after its death. The live ant is bigger than what would be a dead ant or a ground-up ant. That's right, the land ants are enough to be mashlim the kzayit, even when you only have 2 or 1 of the dead ants. Nevertheless, the bigger live ant counts towards the kzayit, and that's the chiddush over here. So Magar says, Achal tevel u'maisa rishon shalot nitla shumatan. Right, so that you took out yet tevel that didn't have the matnot kanuna or maniim not taken off. So Amar Rav, Achal tevel shumaser ani lokeh. So everybody understands when you eat tevel that still has chuma in it. You eat tevel that still has maisa rishon, maisa sheni in it. Those are all things that have a requirement of hafrasha, separating them out, either taking them up to Yerushalayim, giving it to the Kohen, or giving it to Levi, who then has to give Shumat Maser to the Kohen. All of those items are items that you're chayav for, chayav, and seriously chayav for, you chayav mitat debei shemayim on these items. So I would understand that they make a tevel and you can't eat it. But what about Maiserani? Maiserani, you just have to separate it out. And if you don't give it to the Ani, you just stole from the Ani. Why should it, maybe it shouldn't be classified as tevel? So come on, who's he old like? If nothing was taken off of it. If you took off chuma gdola, but not maaser rishon. Maaser rishon v'lo maaser sheni. You took off chuma and maaser rishon, but he didn't take off maaser sheni. But v'lo maaser ani minayin. How do I know? Even by maaser ani, you'd still be classified as tevel. You're not allowed to eat the. Here's the maaser. Asrot, you're not allowed to eat them in your gateways. Ulo Halan Omer, it says later on in Sefer Dvarim, you have to invite along the yatom, the amana, the poor, to eat with you, and they'll be happy. So it's a requirement of bisharecha. You see the word to bisharecha is used, where achlu bisharecha v'saveyu, malal and maisarni, just like over there, we're talking about maisarni, we're talking about taking care of the individuals, the poor, to take care of the yatom, the amana, and those that are poor. Also over here, when it says, lo tucha le'chol bisharecha, that's talking about the bisharecha of maisarni, and you're not allowed to eat it until you've cleared the problem of tevel, if you've cleared the problem of bisharecha. The only way to clear the problem of bisharecha is also to eliminate the maisarni. So I've got maisarni, baruch mara, lo tucha, don't, you can't eat it. You're not allowed to eat it until all the tevel is removed. Let's step over here.